Years, in 1,000 years, in 2,000 years, we'll have a different linguistic landscape. And I've no doubt that there'll be further changes, and electronic and digital communication will probably play its part in all of that. I don't think we should spend our time worrying about that. I think we should get on with living our lives and making sure that we use the language the best we can. What happens in 100 years' time, frankly, I don't really care.
The Dragon with Two Tongues was presented by Gwyneth Lewis. The producer was Martin Williams. It was first broadcast last October. Now, today is the birthday of the English composer Kai Khosrou Sorabji, born to a Parsi father and a Spanish-Sicilian opera singer mother. He left a vast amount of music, much of it very difficult. Here's one of his 100 transcendental studies. It's played by Frederick Ullain. Transcendental Study number 29 by Sorabji. It was played by Frederick Ullain. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 10:15. Coming up at 11:45, Late Junction comes live from the Edinburgh Festival. But now, from the stage of the Royal Albert Hall here in London, here's Catherine Bott with the second of this evening's proms.
Good evening and welcome to this late night prom given by the Talis Scholars, whose director Peter Phillips has devised what he calls a chalk and cheese programme of sacred music for unaccompanied voices, which juxtaposes two Renaissance composers, one Italian, the other English, who between them span the 16th century. And he'll be elucidating that chalk and cheese theme a bit later on. It's 400 years since the death of Carlo Gesualdo, as famous, sadly, for the murder of his wife as for the tortured, almost expressionist harmonies in his compositions. We're going to hear three of his sacred motets, placed in the context of the Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas by John Taverner, the most influential composer of his generation, who died 15 years before Gesualdo was born. And while we're talking dates, the Talis Scholars celebrate their 40th anniversary this year. In the first sequence of this concert, they're going to sing the Gloria and the Credo of Taverner's Mass, separated by Gesualdo's motet Ave Dulcissima Maria. So let's now welcome them and conductor Peter Phillips to begin the concert with Taverner's Kyrie Leroy. the Gloria and the Credo from John Taverner's Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas, together with Taverner's Kyrie Leroy and Gesualdo's motet Ave Dulcissima Maria, Hail Sweetest Maria, sung by the Talis scholars directed by Peter Phillips. Taverner, born in around 1490, produced three mass settings for six voices. This one, for Trinity Sunday, was almost certainly written earlier in his career when he was the first Master of the Choristers at the newly founded Cardinal College, Oxford, the cardinal in question being Wolsey. Well, he's got this chalk and cheese theme, not Wolsey, but Peter Phillips, and now I'm going on stage to find out about it. Peter, I'm very sorry to keep you waiting.
That's
I was
okay.
Just explaining a little bit about Cardinal Wolsey, to whom Taverner owed quite a lot, didn't he?
He did. A great deal.
Yes, founding Cardinal's College.
Yes.
But he wasn't in power for very long, was he, poor old Wolsey? He fell from grace.
Very suddenly.
And Taverner was off back to Lincolnshire.
Mm.
Anyway, tell me about your chalk and cheese aspect of this programme. You've got a point to make, which is a very good one.
Well, you know, when people come to orchestral concerts, they expect what they hear to be varied. They will look at the list of composers and think that each composer will have his own voice, which is easily detectable. When they come to a concert of Renaissance choral music, I think some people come with exactly the opposite idea, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But I know that it's a bigger story than that, I suppose, and I wanted to prove it by mixing these two composers. It could have been other two, but it's Gesualdo's anniversary this year, so I thought I'd go for Gesualdo and Taverner as extreme opposites.
Well, let's start by examining what they have in common.
Well, they were writing for the Catholic Church in Latin, and they were writing for an unaccompanied choral ensemble. Gesualdo probably one voice to a part, Taverner with a more of a cathedral kind of choir in mind.
So, although we can hear differences, the framework of 16th century liturgical music is a very solid one throughout Europe?
Yes, I mean, the settings of the Mass will follow similar patterns. In fact, Gesualdo didn't set the Mass. But if you compare Taverner with Talis, for example, you get quite similar results.
Well, let's go to the differences. I mean, I'm sure we can all hear the sort of what I call the vertical spaciousness of the Taverner. And the more closely knit Gesualdo.
Yes. I mean, Gesualdo's a miniaturist, really. Every note is action-packed, or potentially so. You feel as though he will distort and twist and torture you as necessary to get extra meaning out of his style. Whereas Taverner, I think, is really the opposite. He builds these huge structures, as you've just heard, on tiny repeating motifs, but they're in part of a sort of Gothic arch-like shape. And they're building up always, going somewhere in the far distance.
What I thought was quite remarkable in what we've just heard was the solemnity, I mean, very much akin to Bach's B minor Mass, of the Crucifixus section, and the exhilarating joy and the different rhythmic patterns for Et Resurrexit and onwards. That was a real surprise to me.
Mm.
And
it's great.
Must be fun to perform.
Oh, it's terrific.
I mean, perhaps I should ask the singers, but...
Yes, you should, but...
but you're obviously enjoying...
It's the end of the Gloria that really gets me, where those scales start running. That's really unusual. I mean, to have whole scales running through the entire choir like that is up to a really high note, you know, wham, that's big stuff.
So we know something about, you know, what we can expect with the remaining two movements. We're going to hear the Sanctus and the Agnus Dei from the Taverner Gloria Tibi Trinitas Mass, but we haven't heard more than one piece by Gesualdo. Are the other two pieces we're going to hear in that sort of vein?
Yes, they are. They're Marian pieces, all three of them that we're doing tonight, and he has a gentle approach to Mary, fortunately. And the style is a little bit more subdued than usual, but still you can hear the chromatics turning and twisting inside. The harmonies changing dramatically. It's engrossing music.
Well, you've whetted all our appetites. Thanks very much, Peter Phillips.
Thank you.
Now, Peter Phillips directs the Talis scholars in the Sanctus and Agnus Dei from Taverner's Mass, but they begin with Gesualdo's Ave Regina Caelorum. Hail, Queen of Heaven. Hail, Mistress of the Angels. Glorious Virgin, joy to thee, more splendid than all others.
Thank you.
the Agnus Dei ending Taverner's Missa Gloria Tibi Trinitas, music from the 1520s drawing in the audience here in the mid-19th century Royal Albert Hall. The performers were the Tallis Scholars, conducted by their founder-director Peter Phillips, and this exceptional work of Tudor polyphony was contrasted tonight with the music of Gesualdo. Two of the Gesualdo pieces were in fact making their prompt debuts tonight, as was the Mass in its entirety. Bits of it had been heard before, but never complete at the Proms. Although bits of the Mass are very, very famous, when I explain, the plain chant antiphon for Trinity Sunday is heard throughout that Mass in the second soprano part, and most especially used as a cantus firmus, a fixed melody acting as a sort of foundation for all the athletic polyphony that goes on above it, especially in the sopranos. And big congratulations to them. They've spent most of the evening halfway up the north face of a sort of musical Eiger, and my heart and sympathies and admiration go out to them. But this cantus firmus is especially prominent in the Benedictus, which of course is Benedictus qui venit in nomine Domini, in nomine. The setting by Taverner of those two words inspired generations of composers. Well, here are the Tallis Scholars returning to the platform with warm smiles. And I have a feeling, I've heard a rumour, that there may be a little something else for us, which Peter Phillips will announce.
We'd like to sing a setting of Liberanos Salvanos by Taverner's young contemporary, John Shepherd.
Thank you.
Humanus, Salvanus, Set Us Free, Save Us by John Shepherd. Could there be a more apposite late-night encore for 14 unaccompanied singers? The Tallis Scholars, although they've been the Taverner Scholars tonight, the Tallis Scholars directed by Peter Phillips. They've been proving that all Renaissance polyphony doesn't sound the same for 40 years. And their anniversary is being celebrated here at this prom, of course, and also with a forthcoming tour of New Zealand. And they've always sung new music alongside the old. This year alone, they've commissioned and premiered pieces by Gabriel Jackson and Eric Whittaker. Well, now, sadly, it's the end of a long and very rewarding evening, and it's time for me, Catherine Bott, to wish you a very good night from the Royal Albert Hall as I hand you back to Broadcasting House and James Jolly.
Thank you, Catherine. And we return to the Royal Albert Hall for our next prom tomorrow evening at 7:30, when Charles Dutoit conducts the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra in music by Stravinsky, Penderecki, Debussy and Ravel.
It hasn't been heard at the proms in more than 35 years. Sir Michael Tippett's opera, The Midsummer Marriage, his answer to Mozart's The Magic Flute. The tale of two couples tested by a series of supernatural interventions on the shortest night of the year. Conducted by one of today's leading exponents of Tippett's music, Sir Andrew Davis, The Midsummer Marriage. On Friday at 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
At 11:45, we're off to Edinburgh for Lake Junction with Max Reinhardt. So until then, a little Mahler, but not as we normally hear him.
Thank you.
The first song from Schumann's Dichterliebe and before it the Adagio from Mahler's Fifth Symphony. Both were heard in vocal transcriptions by Clutus Gottwald. The words in the Mahler were by Eichendorff and are familiar from Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs. The Mahler was sung by the SWR Vocal Ensemble Stuttgart, conducted by Marcus Creed, and the Schumann by the Kammerchor Saarbrücken, directed by Georg Grün. This is BBC Radio 3, and now time for a special edition of Late Junction, live from Edinburgh, with Max Reinhardt.
Thank you, James. Welcome to Late Junction, coming to you live tonight from the studios of BBC Scotland, right here in the centre of Edinburgh. And, of course, we're here to bring you a taste of some of the finest artists in the Edinburgh International Festival and on the Fringe.
Late Junction. Edinburgh, Edinburgh, Edinburgh.
Yes, indeed. That was Shlomo, the Fringe's beatboxer extraordinaire, with a special Late Junction intro that he created for us last night on stage in the BBC Big Blue Tent at Potter Row. But that was so then. Tonight, we're going to bring you an interview with Meredith Monk.
You know, how do you make a piece that you're not pointing your finger at the audience and going, you know, throw your garbage bags away and, you know, that kind of thing. I didn't want to do that.
Okinawan folk music from the Ship of Ryukyu. And first of all, the sound of the fiddle and the harp in the astoundingly talented hands of Chris Stout and Katrina Mackay. Hi, both.
Hello there.
So what are you going to play for us?
We're going to start off with a tune called White Nights, which is a kind of a eccentric, quirky little tune celebrating the long summer's nights in Shetland at this time of the year.
Let's hear it.
Let's go. Thank you.
Chris Stout on violin and Katrina Mackay on harp playing White Nights, a song which sums up the long summer nights on the Shetland Islands. And we're staying with islands quite a lot tonight. And more from Chris and Katrina a little later on, but it's time for the ship of Ryukyu to set sail across the placid waters of Lake Junction. They are a group of Japanese musicians and dancers bringing the folk culture of the islands of Okinawa to the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, blending contemporary music with traditional Ryukyu dance. Now, we couldn't fit the dancers in the studio tonight, though it would have been nice to try. But here is Toru Yonaha.
Hi. Good evening.
Hi, Toru. And he's going to sing and play the Sanshin. Toru Yonaha, and he's from the ship of Ryukyu. They're a folkloric ensemble from Okinawa, and they've brought along their interpreter now to tell us more about their music. Good evening, Al.
Good evening.
So, what was that tune called?
It's called Shirakumubushi, which means a song of white clouds.
Okay, and what kind of story does the lyric tell?
It's singing about clouds floating on the sea and looks like an island. And he's singing, if I had a wing, then it could fly over to the island.
Oh, and what kind of climate is there in Okinawa? I mean, does it compare to the Shetlands? The Shetlands are in the far north, you know, kind of really towards the Arctic. Is that not true?
Yeah, really far north.
It's pretty cold all year round on the Shetlands, very windy. Mm. Is that how it is in Okinawa?
Well, Okinawa is located in the very far south of the main island of Japan, so it gets really hot in summer, and winter it's not very cold either.
No, I thought I could feel the warmth of the song. It was very beautiful. Mm. And is that a traditional song?
It is, yes.
And is it sung... Is there certain times of the year that it's sung or certain times of the day?
Not really, but it's a quite popular song in the mainland of Okinawa, so people often sing this song.
It was lovely. Now, tell me something about the instrument that actually both members of the Ship of Ryukyu have, and it's a sanshin.
Yes.
And to me, it looks like it's from... From the lute family. It's got three strings and it's got a sort of snake skin resonator amplifier, a bit like a banjo or an ngoni. Is it a traditional instrument or is it a classical instrument or is it both?
Well, it's a traditional Okinawan instrument that they use all the time for the folk music and also traditional music.
Is it used in the rest of Japan?
No, well, we have similar, something looks similar in Japan, but they are different instruments.
So you're from Japan rather than Okinawa?
Yes, I'm from the mainland.
And so how does the mainland consider the Okinawa Islands?
It's our image of Okinawa would be quite tropical, very, very different from our part of Japan.
And the music's very different too.
Very different, yeah, and they have also their own language as well. So.
Well, I can see that Ayumi is now ready to play her sanshin. And what's she going to sing for us?
She's going to sing a song called Yonaguni Shonkane, and it's from Yonaguni Island where she was born, and it's a song when people sing when the people get apart. And it's singing about let's be together while we are alive.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's a song of parting.
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it. Thank you.